The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good morning, everyone. This is Richard Address. Welcome you to Boomer Generation Radio here on WWDB AM 860 and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. Welcome to Boomer Generation Radio, a program that focuses on issues that are relevant to our generation of 76 million Americans. And we are pleased to welcome to the studio this morning Dr. Michael Friedman, a psychologist in private practice here in Ballard-Kinwood. And we're going to try to explore some of the psychological issues that really, I think, confront and greet those of us in the baby boom generation. And we'll be right back with Dr. Friedman immediately following these messages.
If there was a fire, you'd know what to do. Find the nearest fire alarm or call 911. But what if you were about to be released from the hospital and they told you you weren't ready to go home? That you needed another care facility instead because you weren't really strong enough yet? Well, waiting until the hospital asks you which center you want to go to is too late. You need a plan so you can stay in control of your life and not feel like a victim. The goal, after all, is to get your life back and get back home as soon as possible. At Powerback Rehabilitation, you get aggressive therapy plans on the newest equipment so you can get home sooner. Call today and ask for your personalized Powerback card and keep it in your wallet. If you ever need it, give it to the hospital and say, "I want my Powerback." Call Powerback Rehabilitation at 888-982-2000 or visit powerbackrehabilitation.com. Powerback Rehabilitation is a Genesis Healthcare company.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Boomer Generation Radio. This is your host, Richard Address, here on WWDB AM, 860 AM on your dial, streaming live on WWDBAM.com. And again, we're pleased to welcome to the studio Dr. Michael Friedman, a psychologist in private practice here in Ballard-Kinwood in suburban Philadelphia. Welcome, Michael. Nice to see you.
Good morning.
We want to explore some of the psychological issues as we're beginning Boomer Generation Radio. We just want to lay out, as we have in the last couple of weeks, certain ideas that seem to be germane and important to our generation. In your practice, sort of like to begin this conversation in a general way, what do you see as the issues, the major issues that walk into your office dealing with people in our generation?
Well, fundamentally, I think the biggest issue is one that affects many of us, regardless of our place in the developmental spectrum, and that is dealing with change. The stress and anxiety caused by having to make adjustments is really difficult, even when the changes could be positive things. And we all know, if we look around us, the world is changing. Technology is changing all over. And then we have some of the more personal things about our health and longevity. And of course, that elephant in the room is this issue about what retirement is going to be like.
Do you see a lot of people coming to you for advice about retirement?
More and more, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And what, I mean, this is like a major, a lot of the research, in fact, I just put on my website, JewishSacredAging.com, this morning, another couple of resources on aspects of retirement and people not retiring in the traditional way, but transitioning into other forms of work. Do you see that?
Yes. And, there's definitely a trend to think about, instead of retirement, the way that perhaps our father's generation thought of it, of what you're not going to do any longer. I'm going to stop working. I've worked hard. I'm entitled to a rest. Now people are living longer. Many of us are fortunate enough to have good health, and many of us have more financial resources than the previous generations did at this stage of life. And so the real question is what to do with that time. And you're right. There's a whole literature that really talks about the encore stage of life.
Right. Encore work. We had a recent guest, Sharon Siegel, who is developing some encore programming for boomers. And I think sometime in the spring, one of the people from the Council for Relationships, who really is also doing this, and the coming of age group in Temple University, is going to be on the program too, who really is developing some of these encore programs, encore work, whatever, transition modes. How much? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say it's not necessarily work. It doesn't necessarily mean working for income. But I think what people are looking for, although very few of us will say we have enough money, we don't want any money, more money. There's the more of the question of meaning in life and being meaningfully engaged. So one of my favorite stories is a client who came to me a number of years ago after starting and running a family business, was very successful, sold it for millions of dollars, and had a lot of free time now. So why was he coming to see a psychologist? Because he was depressed. He had no sense of what he wanted to do with life. He had no need to go out and work anymore. But because he had been so busy with his career, he really didn't have meaningful, intimate friendship or relationships, and had certainly had never done anything in the way of volunteering in the community.
So do you find, this whole aspect of meaning fascinates me. We get to a certain age and this what is this life for, what does it mean questions, which I do believe that people ask themselves in a variety of different ways, whether they want to admit it or not. But Do you see this search for meaning question coming into your office? I've worked, and my relationships were really work relationships, and now I'm alone.
Yes, that's very common, and the most you've touched on the most common one, and that is most of my relationships, like most of my time, was spent with people at work.
So that's a fairly profound statement. If a significant number of people our age are facing transitions and facing them alone, what would that do to marital relationships? Do you see people then changing and to be blunt about it, leaving marriages because they are facing this search for meaning and aloneness and they're looking for something?
I know that certainly exists. I personally haven't seen that much with my clients, but we do hear very commonly much more conflict. A wife might say, go do something. You're intruding on my space, on my time.
Yeah, I know some people, I've heard this expression, I married you for better or for worse, but not for lunch.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
So, but I want to return to this idea of meaning. So is part of what you try to do with someone, really to locate what that passion is that may have been repressed for 30 or 40 years of active life or in work life?
Well, to see if there was one, see where there might have been some seeds planted that just there wasn't enough time or allocation of resources to let it bloom. And religious life involvement is certainly one of those sources. The other is volunteering. And so many more people in the boomer generation are looking for volunteer activities. On the other hand, I've worked with several business people who think that I'm crazy when I say, why don't you, let's talk about finding something for you to do as a volunteer. The answer is often, why work if I'm not getting paid?
I have to ask you, touched. That's a gender issue. Are you seeing a difference between men and women, especially first stage boomers, people now in their 60s who are looking at this transition? Is there a difference that you're finding in your practice?
Well, honestly, my practice includes in this age group many more men than women. Hmm. So I really wouldn't want to generalize. But I think it probably, my belief is that it'll run parallel to how they were living their lives. So I think that women who had high executive positions or high demand full-time employment may go through some of the same kinds of issues.
Hmm. So are you seeing then this in counseling and dealing with individuals of our generation, the baby boomers who are facing this change, the role of what I call the give back syndrome? Do people, I mean, you alluded to this, but do people really want to give something back to the society?
I think those who were raised with that ethic.
Interesting.
Who saw their parents doing some volunteer work, who were raised and educated either through their school or through their synagogue or church to value that, that's one of the natural places for people to go.
You know, it's amazing. I don't remember who wrote it, but one of the books that I studied in this was Sherwin Nuland in his book, How We Die, talked about the fact that we die as we live. And that same concept has been picked up by writers in gerontology who are looking at this transition of baby boomers saying, just like you said, the statistics say we age, we grow older, we don't expect us to change. We really, that personality has always been there, and we're going to grow older basically the same way we grew younger and grew up.
I think that's very, very true.
Yeah. And real quickly before we have to take a break, what impact has this economy had that you're seeing on this generation conversations?
Clearly, that's one of the topics or areas of adjustment that I was referring to before. I think the most difficult part of it is the uncertainty. So we were told when we were younger that if you invested and put money aside, it would grow at approximately this rate. And you know, by X age, you would have, you know, Y amount of money, and you could come up with a kind of a formula. All of those formulas have gone out of the window, and so there's much more anxiety. I've heard people talk about it. Their goal is to have things come out even. That is, they want to have enough money to live out through their lives with comfort, and that's hard to predict.
But raises a tremendous amount of anxieties. Anxiety, I would imagine, amongst individuals and families who have been hit by the economy in the last 5 years. And, you know, can I afford to retire? Or do I have to, there's a whole body of literature saying now that people are just staying around working longer not because they want to, because they have to.
Exactly.
So you're seeing some of that?
Absolutely.
And also you're seeing people staying working because that's their identity. I don't want to stop working.
I think that's always been true, more for people in the professions than for people who were for doing hard work. factory work.
Right.
We have do you know anyone who works in a mine anymore? Who works on a production line? That kind
only
of work,
metaphorically speaking,
exactly. in our society, that's been one of the changes. And so people who were doing that, some of my clients who were doing retail, who were working for income, not for meaning in their lives, are happy to have that end, but then only to find that it's left a void.
So I want to pick up on some of this, continue on this meaning thing, and just ask you when we come back from this break a little bit of a couple of questions on certain issues that seem to be cropping up a lot with our generation, both just part of our emerging and changing and lifestyle and longevity. You're listening to Boomer Generation Radio on WWDBAM 860 on your dial and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. I'd like to take a couple of seconds just to remind you of some friends of mine down in Pittsgrove, New Jersey, in southern New Jersey, Tandems East. headquarters for tandem bicycling and activities around that. They're in their 25th year, Mal and Barbara, at Tandems East, to sell tandem bikes all over the world, as well as our local Greater Philadelphia area. They are involved in a whole variety of specific events and carry a wide range, some 13 or more brands of tandem bikes, including their own. They've asked me on Boomer Generation to remind you of a series of a couple of issues and a couple of events that are coming up. Tandem Expo, March 23rd to 24th, in just a couple of weeks in Pittsgrove Township Middle School. There are going to be all types of tandems on display, test rides, seminars, items for sale. The event is free. It's open to the public. There's a Tandem Sunday on May 5th in beautiful Elmer, New Jersey, which is a one-day event, and a whole weekend on May 31st, June 1 and 2 at Golden Inn in Avalon, New Jersey. If you want any information about Tandems East, there, what they do, how to get involved, lessons, buying, all these events, you can give Tandems East a call at 856-451-5104. That's 856-451-5104. You can check them out on their website at www.tandemseast.com. Their hours are Monday through Thursday, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., and Saturday all day, 8 to 5. Again, their phone number for Tandems East is 856-451-5104. Tell Mal and Barbara that Richard Address said hello. So, Dr. Michael Friedman, a psychologist here in private practice in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania, on Boomer Generation Radio, WWDB AM 860. And as we've said, streaming live on WWDBAM.com. Before our break for tandems, we were talking a little bit about this transition period. Baby boomers as transitioning from full-time work into giving back, volunteering, searching for some sense of meaning. That seems to be also manifesting itself from what we're seeing in this real desire for continuing adult education. All these universities who are filling classrooms, especially in various locations, I know in the Sun Belt, with boomers who've retired or semi-retired taking these classes, that speaks to this hunger. Do you sense something missing in this generation as we age? Is it our fear of death? Is it a fear of how are we going to fill the time?
Well, there may be the fear of how to fill the time, but for some of us, I think it's, the list of things that I've always wanted to do but somehow never had enough time for. I was too busy either with my education or with my career, fulfilling the responsibilities of parenting. And now I have this new opportunity. So the encore period can provide me with that chance. And it depends upon the individual. I know people who have taken lessons in things that are more like hobby areas, woodworking, the old traditional ones of golf. But then certainly, even here in Philadelphia, Temple University has an extensive program for people who are boomers and certainly people who are alums of the university to go back and sit in any course. It's not just courses about this stage of life. I'm even finding that men are beginning to follow the lead of women in yet one more area, and that is forming some book groups. Really? Discussion groups. We used to joke men don't read, but that's clearly not true. And now that they have more time, they're finding that as an opportunity to build social relationships, have some camaraderie, to fill some of their time through discussions of things about common interest.
So that leads me to ask you a question about intimacy. You painted this picture that this is a generation that worked, achieved, am fascinated by what you said at the beginning of this. They're facing many people that you're seeing really look when they stop this full time work, move into and transition, have a sense of aloneness. Mm-hmm. Which leads me to ask you, in your experience, this sense of intimacy, this desire, this need to be with other people, to be in relationships with other people. Could you just comment on that for what your experience is?
Well, I think that is a basic human need that we all have. And as you were suggesting, I mean, if our lives have been such that we haven't gone out and invested in those kinds of relationships, now that we're at a stage of life where we have the time and we'd like to have them, they're not necessarily there.
How do you advise somebody who sits across you in your office and who, let's say, is, you know, 67, 68, 69, you're transitioning out, but has all of a sudden woken up to the fact that all those relationships they've left at ABC company or the office, mm-hmm. and they're facing 20, 30, perhaps, God willing, years of life, and they're alone. How do you advise them to begin to develop this sense of intimacy in relationships?
That discussion is often part of a bigger discussion about going back to the other topic we discussed, and that was meaning. So, you know, we talk about what would provide some meaning in your life. What would you like to do with your time? And that then naturally leads to the conversation of who would you like to do it with? Who might you do it with? So it's very much like my young adult clients who are struggling, you know, post-college, out in the workforce. How do I meet a life partner? You know, we say, you know, one of the best places is to meet them, you know, around an activity where you have common interests or common values. And I think the same thing applies to those of us in the boomer generation.
So one of the other great relationships that we are, if we're blessed to have them, and I need you to comment on this because it's a different world now, and that's this blessing of being a grandparent. And our generation is as it's redefined most things socially, seems to be redefining grandparenting. I mean, you're doting grandfather, and instead of just taking the kids to the park, you just came back for 3 weeks with your grandchildren in
Australia.
Yes, so that's a little different than my grandparents.
Right.
We were lucky. We visited them in Atlantic City, and we may have gotten a saltwater taffy and a ride on the thing at the steel pier.
Well, you know, but I bet that you have some very fond memories of that time.
Oh, yeah.
I do, with my grandparents, and it's just like your experience. It was nothing quite as exotic, but I still hold those memories. And actually, when I have time to think about it and reflect on that, I could paint pictures, mental and emotional pictures, of those times, the special time. You know, I remember my grandmother taking me to a movie once, and I enjoyed it so much, she sat through the movie a second time with me because I didn't want to leave.
What was the movie?
Who knows? You know, but that's exactly my point.
Right.
It wasn't, my memory is not about the movie, it's about my grandmother and that gift that she was giving me that, understandably, my parents couldn't at that time. They were too busy.
Do you think we're much more, we are aware of that more, and we want to put ourselves in a position to make those memories more and more and more? And while I'm thinking of it, do you also see a number of boomers, our generation, also getting intimately involved in caring for the grandchildren as well?
Yes and yes. So I think those of us who had those positive experiences and understand what they could be have decided actively or inactively that that's something important to them. They want as part of their lives. I often say I loved being a father, but being a grandparent trumps it all.
Right.
But your other issue is caring for children. I mean, we're younger. We have the energy. Many of us have the time. And more of our kids are two career relationships.
Absolutely. Have to be.
So there's a need. I hear more and more of my friends and clients who some even on a full-time basis are doing childcare, and those who aren't often negotiate a day or an afternoon when they can have special time with their grandchild.
Which leads me to this probably the last question we'll have time for. The stresses and strains of caring, not necessarily for your grandchildren, but for our parents. How does that play out in your practice?
Well, we see that more and more. Again, it depends upon whether our parents were healthy and how long they lived. But some of us have had the good fortune of having parents who were healthy and had a long run. But as they get older, if it's not physical needs, it's psychological, memory, emotional needs, that it's more and more of a demand or a drain. And so some of my clients and friends are often thinking about, where do I go? How do I divide my time through my grandchildren, my parents, and then what's left for me?
Right. I know this goes to the sense of meaning and a concern I think a lot of our generation has of this push-pull between the various generations and then waking up and saying, but where's me? I'm getting lost.
And if we have healthy relationships, whether it's with our parents, with our children, and therefore have access to our grandchildren, then I hear that much less because it's a gift. It's an opportunity in life to give to people who you really care about and sometimes who have cared for you. It's when we've had troubled relationships historically that it's particularly painful at this time when parents are dependent on us.
You know, it's interesting, and maybe this is a good way to bring the show to a close. It seems from what you're saying that so much of what counts is this idea of the power of what I call the theology of relationships, but the intimacy, the power, the need for, and the craving for relationships, healthy relationships, seem to really be the foundation upon which, no matter what age we are, we can build a healthy life and find meaning in that life through those relationships.
Well, you and I agree about that very strongly. And I think that need has been magnified by the, increased technology and impersonal nature of contemporary life.
Dr. Michael Friedman, thank you very much. Before we leave, I just want to remind you again of another friend of mine over in South Jersey, Steve Lubetkin from Lubetkin Communications, who will be more than happy to speak to you and your family about creating a living, loving legacy, a lasting tribute to your family, in their own words, through video history, having them tell their own stories. Lubetkin Communications does our podcast and can really be helpful to your family or your business in generating a very, very lovely profile of who you are and how you wish to be. And you can call Steve Lubetkin at 856-751-5491. And they're at www.lubetkin.net. That's LUBETKIN, lubetkin.net. For Boomer Generation Radio, this is your host, Richard Address. Thank you, Dr. Michael Friedman, for sharing your insights on some of the issues that you see in your practice here in Bala Cynwyd with our generation and the baby boomers. Thank you very much. We'll see you next Tuesday.